I want to say since he was a toddler. Wow. I've known Sister Bryant since she was, I was at her mom and daddy's house before they even had her. And her grandpa, Brother McLean, I mean, I grew up around him. And Brother Bryant's daddy, I mean, their folks. Amen. And it's amazing that years later that you watch two kids in two different areas, that they would come together and do the work of God now. Amen. What a joy. Want Brother Dallas Bryant to come. God bless you, Brother Bryant. Preach the word tonight. Let God have his way.
Praise God. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. What say the people of God? Were you glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight? This is where I found life and found it more abundantly. Praise God. I'm glad to be amongst a group of people that understand when we say in the name of Jesus, we're not just saying words, but there's power and there's authority. I'm glad to be a part of the one God apostolic tongue talking holy rollers. Amen, amen. In Jesus' name, my wife is coming, and or she has already come, and she's going to sing. And thank you to each and every one of you, all that have prepared here at Apostolic Lighthouse. Thank you to all those that made sure that this was prepared, beautiful place that we have to gather. But are you here to worship the Lord? I wonder, as she begins to sing, would you just open your heart, mind, and spirit and just give God the opportunity one more chance? I want you to do whatever you want to do, Lord.
She stumbled through the tears that made her blind. She felt such pain, some spoke in anger, heard folks whisper, "There's no place here for her kind." Still on she came, through the shame that flushed her face, until at last she knelt before his feet. And though she spoke no words, everything she said was heard, as she poured her love for the Master from her box of alabaster. "And I've come to pour my praise on him like oil from Mary's alabaster box. Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears and I dry them with my hair. 'Cause you weren't there the night he found me. You did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his love of the oil in my alabaster box. I can't forget the way life used to be. I was a prisoner to the sin that had me bound. Spent my days pouring my life without measure into a little treasure box I thought I'd found. Oh, until the day when my Jesus came to me and he healed my soul. to why I love him so much. I've come to pour my praise on him like oil from Mary's alabaster box. Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears and I dry them with my hair. Oh, my hair, 'cause you were there the night Jesus found me. You did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his love all around me. And you don't know the cost of the oil. Ooh, you don't know the cost of my praise. You don't know the cost of the oil in my alabaster box.
Oh, can you talk to him right now? Come on, nobody else knows the full story, but Jesus does. Nobody else understands what all you've been through. Come on, but there's a Savior with nail-scarred hands that's here tonight. Jesus! Oh, I'm coming to you, Lord! Come on, would you just lift your voice? Would you let him know, I've come expecting to meet with you. I want you, Jesus. Praise God, praise God. You weren't there. I know I could speak for these men, I believe, in saying you wouldn't want to know our past. I mean, if somebody else is in a place of perfection, I'd like to know your secrets. But I'm thankful that God, when he found me, didn't leave me the way he saw me. Oh, but it's still, I still sing that song sometimes. Jesus on the inside. He's working on the outside. Oh, it may be a kid's song to you, but it's my life story. He's still working on me. He's never given up. He's never quit. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord with you tonight. Thankful for these incredible men standing here, and give great honor to Brother Metlin, mighty man of God, faithful man. To me, a faithful Christian is the highest compliment I can give to anybody. And when I look around, I see these men. They've been faithful. These are not novices. These are not men that you have to wonder where they are in the midst of battle. But these are men that I honor and respect highly, and thank you for who you are. It's a pleasure to meet, and I'm sure the same could be said. Pleasure to meet Brother Kelly. Have not had the honor, but we are excited to hear the word tomorrow night. Have no doubt that God is going to move mightily and that God is going to pour out. I believe what I felt that God is going to do in this meeting is going to be life-changing. And can I just go ahead and tell you, I know sometimes we feel that way. Oh, yeah, of course the preacher's going to say the preacher talk. Oh, yeah, of course it's going to be life-changing, all that. But if you go ahead and discount what God's going to do, you won't get what God wants for you. But if you, by faith, say, hey, I believe that tonight, you can lay hold on what God really wants to do in this house. You can leave changed. You can leave transformed. You can leave mightily poured out upon by the Holy Ghost. God will do it. But he's just looking for somebody to say, God, I want it right here. Oh, would you tell him that right now if you really mean that? God, I want it right here tonight. God, I'll give you my heart, my mind, my soul, my spirit. Praise God, praise God. And I give honor to Brother Martinez. We've had the privilege of preaching in all three of these great assemblies, and we are grateful for all of these. In fact, we were with Brother Martinez, when his granddaughter began to run the aisles and broke open the service when she was, I think it would have been 3. Never too young to start, praise God. So I'm thankful for that legacy. And of course, our friend, Brother Crosswhite, who has been a blessing to us. And we do love Sister Crosswhite. Obviously, the pastor's wives, nobody has to tell us that without them, the men couldn't do what they do. Can I get an amen? An A woman if you need to, praise God. But we are so thankful for these men of God and their wives and what they mean to us. But I believe that God wants to do something amongst young people here tonight. Young people, I give you double honor. Living in a world that seems every day to find a new way to lose its mind and go even crazier. But I see you standing here. I see you raising your hands. I see you lifting your voice. I see you worshiping. And I give you honor tonight. In fact, it is a joy of mine to preach to young people, because I believe in young people. Let me tell you why. I know I could just say that and you could just take that at face value, but I believe in young people because not just that you're the generation of tomorrow, but you're the generation of today. But young people, I need you, because if you don't get a hold of this truth and live it and love it, when my children come along, they won't have anybody to look up to and say, hey, if they can do it, I can do it too. So I need you tonight. So I'm preaching to you with everything I got tonight, because I believe in you. I believe in you. Praise God. I want to go to the word of the Lord. Acts chapter 20. We're going to begin at verse number 7. I am so thankful for all the lodging and all the gift basket and all the stuff that has been done, the nice things. But truly, it is the fellowship that blesses us. When we have this summer, we've been in a 30-day span in 32 services in 30 days. And so needless to say, if you ask me if I like church, I'll just let it stand. Praise God. We are glad to be in the house of the Lord again tonight. It is a joy. Acts chapter 20, verse number 7. The Bible says, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Don't nobody go get nervous on me tonight. I get hungry too. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. Quickly turning over just to the next book, Acts chapter 8. I'm going to read a couple of verses there, beginning at verse number 6 of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse number 6. Give you a moment to turn there. But we see this Eutychus has now died. We step over into Romans chapter 8, verse 6. The Bible says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. What I feel, I'll be honest with you tonight, I do not come with a practiced sermon. I do not come with a oft-preached one. I don't come with number 152 just simply to pull it off the shelf and try to hype you up. But in the last few days, the Lord has begun to deal with me. So I will tell you, there may be some rough edges. I have not polished these, Brother Kelly. I have not had the time to knock off all these edges, but I feel unction from the Holy Ghost to speak my heart to reach for some young people here tonight that God will minister on this topic, caught between two worlds. Caught between two worlds. I wonder right now, would you close, as you set your Bibles down, would you just simply allow God, oh, entrance into your life right now. God, we've come with expectation. We've come with desire. We've come in faith believing, God. Oh, that there would be transformation. There would be work. Oh, God, eternal work that is done. That lives, God, that may have come in shambles will be restored. Hearts, Lord God, that are wounded would be healed. Lives, God, that have no hope would be restored to hope. And those that do not have the gift of the Holy Ghost will be filled in Jesus' name. We believe it, God, and thereby we speak. Oh, in the name of Jesus, would you worship the Lord with me? Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. In Jesus' name. We read the story here of Eutychus. Eutychus is encountered on Paul's a missionary journey by Paul. That they believe it was his second missionary journey. And that Paul is here in this place. And he has arrived just a few days ago to be able to speak to this group of people before he then goes on to the next place, heading to Jerusalem, where ultimately he will be captured and put in prison and then killed, taken to Rome, and then eventually he will be sentenced there. But in this place of time, Eutychus is kind of our main character here tonight, that Eutychus finds himself in between two worlds. He finds himself in a place, the Bible says that Paul had begun to preach unto them. In fact, my grandpa always had a saying, Brother Metlin, and he told my dad this. He said, son, he said, you can preach so long that people can become numb on one end and dumb on the other and get confused about which is which. If you've been there, can I get an amen? I've been there, so I'll say amen myself. And there are times when in the speaking of the word, I don't know about you, I can be ADHD sometimes. I don't know what all it means. I just know my ADD is HD. It's high definition. And so it's in clear view. And so sometimes I can, what they call, zone out. You talk to me and all of a sudden I'm kind of looking off in space. I'm not meaning to. My brain's going down a rabbit trail. I didn't mean to. It just happened. But sometimes, I don't know if Eutychus himself was having spiritual ADD or not. I don't know if Eutychus was having a struggle here. But I understand that he did come to the right place. He came into the house. He got to the place where it was right, where the Apostle Paul begins to speak the words of truth. And I don't know what all Paul said, but I know that Paul believed that there was one true and living God. I don't know if Paul quoted and said, "Hear, O Israel," but I know Paul believed, "Hear, O Israel." I don't know if Paul broke down that he was all God and all man, and that he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. I don't know if he began to expound upon the glory of God incarnate. I don't know all about that, but I know that inside the house, that world was itself existent, and truth was preached, and doctrine of salvation was preached in the house. I don't know if you are really in the house tonight. Maybe you are in body, but I pray in spirit, because in this house we still believe that there is only one God. We still believe that his name is Jesus. We still believe in Acts 2:38. We still believe that there is a God coming back, and he's coming back for a church without spot or blemish. We still believe in the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. We still believe that if you go down in Jesus' name, that you're washed by the blood of Jesus.
Amen. Yes, sir.
That's what's in the house. And that world was in the house. And here he is, Eutychus. He's in the right place. He's in the right world. He's in the orbit. He's in that place where he's hearing the right things. He's believing the right things. But in that house, and he's even in fellowship with the body. I don't know if Eutychus was one of those that, like we all know, that you know him too. You say we're going to have an eating at the church, and man, 150 people show up. So I ain't ever seen you before, but I'm hungry. Come on, we're going to eat. It's something about food. We like to break bread. So here they are. They're breaking bread. And I don't know what was happening here with this young man, Eutychus. But I know that he's there. And the forces outside of him, outside of this room, the forces concerned only with the temporal, the internal of Paul's tone. And Paul's message was, there's eternal things, there's heavenly things that govern our actions that we're striving for, that we're reaching for. But the forces outside are concerned only with the temporal, the here and now, the secular world, the things that we can experience with our senses, what I can touch, feel, and see. The outside world was governed by the pantheon of gods and goddesses that the Romans and the Greeks had, that the Romans had gods and goddesses for everything. In fact, if they conquered a new area, they would set them up a temple and say, well, okay, if we've conquered you now, but you can still worship whatever god you want to, and just add that to our list of gods. You need a god for brushing your teeth? We got one. You need a god for getting up in the morning? We got one. You need a god for making sure your crops are taken care of? We got one. You need to make sure you get across the Aegean Sea? We got a god for that. We got a god for everything. Oh, yeah. And so their gods and goddesses were a host. And so here they are. They have these temples that are hubs for much of the immoral practices, right, of that time. That worship of idols was just the beginning. That the temple prostitution of male and females was another big problem that they had. It was a marketplace where you could come in and you could buy anything, including slaves. You could buy everything there at this place. This was the hub of life for those. And in this city of Troas, this would have been the place that governed a lot of things. That political leaders many times were also their religious leaders that were used in high up in that temple. The Greek culture was pervasive. Why was the Greek culture pervasive? Because Alexander the Great conquered the whole world a few centuries before the time of Paul's missionary journeys. One of his legacies was to promote Greek thought throughout the entire world that he had conquered. In fact, they had a name that it was called Hellenization, that he would come through and he would conquer an area and he would introduce the Greek language. In fact, that's why your New Testament is in Koine Greek, is because Alexander the Great conquered the whole world, and that was the common language of the people. And so here he is promoting this Greek thought. So most people knew Plato's writings and Aristotle's, those at least of the upper class, those that were of the elites, and those that were learned in academics. They didn't think a lot about this Jewish God, and they didn't care much about his crucified prophet. They weren't too concerned about these pesky followers for a while that were called Christians. They weren't welcome in the secular society. This outside world did not embrace them. They're weird. They're strange. We don't have a lot for them. Their fashions are not like our fashions. Their gods are not like our gods. Their practices and way of life is not like our way of life. That's how we are ruled in this outside secular world, by these things. Even going into the Roman government and military, there were power structures that controlled the daily lives of all of these people. And there was the thrill of battle, that they would conscript men to bring them into the army, and they would begin to fight on behalf of Rome for the glory and honor of this. But this world, it wasn't aligning with what Paul was talking about. That this was not the same world of which Paul spoke of. That this was not, this was the here and now. This is what we see, touch, taste, feel, and smell. That this was the world that governed all of the people and the things that they did. And that world was full of sin. That world was full of ungodliness. That world had power over the individual that was in the flesh. But Paul began to speak to them and talk to them about life and life more abundantly. But it was not just life in the flesh on what we can reach out and touch. But Paul said there's a greater life. There's something bigger and better. And I know you may go to work and you got a boss that tells you what to do. But you've got power even in that place. I know there's an army that it may say if you're not doing what we say, we're coming and we're going to burn your house down, evict you, put you in prison. But I'm telling you, there's still a world that's bigger and better and greater and bigger than the enemy. Because I'm telling you, there's a prince of the power of the air that may control what the world does. But I'm not of that world. I'm living for another world. I'm living for a world that has authority and power. I'm living for a world that I got born into the family of, and this world, it can't control me. It can't put its mark on me, because I've got a mark of my real family. I've got a mark that the Spirit put on me. But I still feel the tension. I'm caught between these two worlds. I walk into this house, even tonight, and I see young people, you're caught between those two worlds. The Spirit's moving in this place. As they begin to sing and they begin to worship, the Spirit began to move. Oh, but I saw it. I could look out and I could see it. And there's some you want to worship, but the pull of the world, it's on you. And I know I'm tired of having the same problems at school and at home and dealing with all this, but there's that tension. It's pulling on me, and I'm caught between two worlds. A world I know that has hope and promise. Oh, but a world that seems so glitzy and glamorous and so exciting. And I can touch it and I can feel it and I can be able to experience what I think is so fun. But I'm caught here in these two worlds. Just like Eutychus. Eutychus wasn't evil. Eutychus wasn't a horrible person. Brother Maddox, he was not terrible. His name actually means fortunate or well-fated. He had a bright future. He was fortunate. He was favored. But he still found himself having to live in a world that was controlled by outside forces. He finds himself, Brother Kelly, in a place where he knows what's right. That's why he showed up to the house of God, to the place where they were all meeting. He was there. He was probably there on time. I don't know what his day held. I don't know what he was doing. I don't know exactly what everything was, Brother Martinez, but I do know this, that he showed up and he was in the right place. Can I tell you, still coming and walking in obedience is still the answer. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what that other world wants to tell you. Oh, they're weird. Those people are strange. They've got a lot of rules that you'll have to do. Come on, that's that world, and it's pulling on you and it's trying to drag you down. But I'm telling you, there's another world, a world that has the gift of the Holy Ghost, that can take a sinner and make him a saint. It can take a broken life and can restore it. It can take somebody that was a nobody and make them God's chosen vessel. I'm telling you tonight, there's two worlds fighting for you, but there's a greater world of the Spirit that's reaching down into your fleshly world. You may have come in tonight and your world is broken. Your world is hurting. Your world is twirling around. And you feel like you don't know which way's up. But there's another world that's reaching down into yours.
But you feel the tension. You feel it. You feel the pulling. You walk into your classrooms at school and you see the looks. Well, that's one of those. You feel that. Well, I'd be lying if I told you I didn't feel it too. That when I walk in places and you see people, it's not as bad for me, but young ladies, I know. You walk in, you look beautiful and godly and holy, and it's such a... When God looks at you, God says, yeah, that's mine. I see myself. I see my glory. I see my beauty. See, that's why I don't walk after the flesh, because those in the flesh don't value me. Those in the flesh, they see holiness and they say, but when you walk into the place of the world that God made, God said, yeah, that's when I recognize mine. I recognize my beauty. I recognize my glory. That's why I come to the house of God, because when I'm in this place, I'm valued. When I'm in this place, God says, yes, that's what I want. I may walk in the world and they don't ever value me. They say you're lower, you're no good. But when I'm in the house of God, there's beauty, there's glory, there's power, and I'm in the right world. So when the devil comes against you and says, go ahead and let your standards down, let it down, don't have to do all that, give it up, put it down, let go of those things, I want you to say, I'm not living for this world. If I was living according to your worldly standards, I would let go. But I'm living, I'm caught between two worlds. I have to live in this world. I'm in this world. But I'm not of this world. I'm in that, but I'm not of it. I'm in this place, and I feel the tension. I feel the pulling. I feel all of that, that warring against my spirit.
Yes.
That's why Paul said in Romans, I would do good.
Yeah.
I would do good, Brother Per. I would do good, but evil is always present.
Yeah.
There's that warring. He even said the warring amongst my members. It's a battle. It's that constant pressure. And you feel it. And that's why the devil fights you, young person, to keep you from praying. That's why the devil fights you to stay out of the Word of God. That's why the devil comes after you, because he understands if he can get in this world and pull you out of the bubble of the real world into that fleshly lower bubble, he's got power and authority over you as the prince of the power of the air. But we don't have to fight fair. Instead, we need to step into the spirit and let the power of Almighty God come upon us. When I step into a prayer room and I begin to lift my voice and I get in the spirit, something begins to shift, something begins to move, and I begin to pick up my spiritual weapons. And when I'm in that place, the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, they're not of this world, but they're of the world that's to come, and they're powerful, and they're mighty, and they're great, to the pulling down of strongholds. Young people, there's some strongholds in this city, in this surrounding area that got to come down. That's why the devil fights you in your flesh, because if he can get you to stay in your flesh, he's got authority over you. But when you step in to the Spirit, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Satan, your kingdom, it's coming down. I've leveled my weapons of war, and I'm coming for it. And you're not going to be able to withstand me, because when I step into that place, I understand that God's authority and God's power is clothing me. But the more I reach for that world, the more I feel the pull. So, you understand what I mean? For a couple weeks, you'll be all here, and you'll be in the prayer room. You'll be on fire. You'll be all excited. And then something happens. Somebody says something. Somebody does something. And now I'm whatever. I'll just chill here on the pew. I ain't got to do all that. That's another world talking to you. That's dulling your senses. That's pulling you into a place of complacency. Come on. That's Eutychus. Sit close to the window. Come on, Bubba. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. No, nobody's going to worry about you. It'll be okay. It's going to be all right. Just chill by the window. You're in the house. It don't matter if you're on the edge. You're in the house. That's what the outside voices say. See, because you're sitting there and you're at the right place and you're there at the right time, but there's still that outside ball, that window. See, you got to understand, they didn't have glass windows like we have. This was before that happened. That was hundreds of years later. They had shutters, usually wooden shutters or a curtain of some kind. And so here he is sitting by an opening, a portal. He's sitting by a portal to the outside world. I'm about to step into somebody's world right now. You say, well, I'm not sitting close to it. Tell me you're not. You're looking at a portal. You're looking at a portal. And that portal's reaching into your world. Sunday morning, Sunday night, you're in the right place. Oh, midweek, you're in the right place. But you're still, when you go home and you're laying there at night, and you're sitting on your bed, leaning back, you're scrolling, and you're being pulled in by a world. And that world is pulling you, and it's pulling you, and it's drawing you ever closer to the edge. And it says, it's okay, just come a little closer. Before long, I started over there, but it won't be long. And I'm going to tip over the edge. It's a portal. It's a window. It's been said that, Brother Colton, that the eyes are the window to the soul. What you begin to view. In fact, anybody ever heard in the Old Testament when they ever called them, God called his people stiff-necked? Anybody remember that? You know why? Because we began to emulate or look like what we worship. And when they began to become idolaters, what were they worshiping? Statues. Statues that can't turn their necks. They were stiff-necked. What you stare at, you become. If you begin to look at the world, you start looking like the world. If you stare at it, if you watch it, if you begin to look at it so much, you begin to say, maybe I'll just dress like that. I'll do it at school. Mom and dad won't know. I'll do it when I'm out with my friend. Mom and dad won't know. You start talking like the world, and you use language that you know you have not to use. You start going with people you know are wrong, but you've been looking at it so long, that pool of the world is calling you and it's drawing you, and you're leaving your first love. There was the altar, but I'm long gone from the altar now because that world, it's calling me, and I gotta taste it, I gotta feel it, I gotta touch it. You here tonight look so good. I'm so thankful to see you. I'm so glad. But I know when you go home tonight, there's a devil that's got a lasso around you. And every time you scroll, it's just a reel. It's just a little video. It's nothing big. And he's got another hook in you. You see it with your eyes, and your spirit begins to lust after it, and you begin to want it, and you begin to desire it until you begin to look like it. And you can't pray and look like it, so you quit praying. You can't read the Word of God because it convicts you, so you quit reading the Bible. And then somebody looks and says, are you okay? I'm fine. Why is everybody always coming at and bugging me and bothering me? Mom and dad are all over my shoulders. They're old and dumb. They don't know what they're talking about. No, they're not. They've been through it. They probably sat next to the window a time or two as well. They probably know what it is to hear, like Eutychus could, the voices outside the window. And that pool. And I wonder how many times before he began to fall into a sleep that he looked out the window. Wonder what's going on out there. Oh, yeah. Paul's talking about something. Yeah. He's saying the same thing again. Repent, be baptized. Yeah. Heard that before. Oh, yeah. He's saying, be holy, for I, Lord your God, am holy. Heard that before. Stay away from those crazy people that want to draw me away. I have heard that. So we begin to tune out. And the man of God's up here preaching his heart out. And your pastor, the watchman on the wall, is looking out and he sees the devil coming in after you. And he says, hey, you better watch out. I wouldn't do that if I were you. Why is he always on my case? Why can't I just do what I want to do? You're not talking like yourself. You're talking like that other world.
Right.
That's not you. You used to not say things like that. You used to say things like, I can't wait to get to church. I can't wait to see what God's going to do. And now you show up to church and your arms are crossed and you're leaning back in your seat. My hair looks a little bit more like the world. My clothes look a little bit more like the world. Come on, pastor, he's not coming after you. He's trying to save you. He's not saying, I dislike you. But you know what he's saying? I love you too much to let that other world grab a hold of you and yank you to your fall. There's a fall coming if you quit listening to the man of God. There's a fall coming that he's trying to get you to avoid. I wish somebody would talk to God right now. I wish somebody would let the voice of God start saying, come on, you're a little too close to the window. You're a little too close to that place. I've been trying to call you closer to my word. I've been trying to call you closer into my presence. Because when you're close, that call of the voices from down below begins to call. And it wasn't in the first hour. It wasn't in the second hour. But Eutychus began to head bob. He began to get a little tired, a little weary. I'm hungry. They said that they were there to break bread and they hadn't broken bread yet, so he was hungry. I'm sure he was hungry. This is this fortunate boy. This is this boy with a good future. Really good stuff coming his way. But he began to give in to his flesh. And he began to fall into a place where when he was asleep, he couldn't fight off the influence anymore. You better hear me. When you're asleep, you can't fight off the influence. When you're spiritually not aware, you can't even understand that the things you're dealing with, you think they're my friends. They're instruments of satanic activity reaching in from another world. if you had spiritual awareness, you could see the claws of those evil spirits reaching into your world. You're in a safe place tonight. Thank God I know the goodness of the people of God. I know the homes that are here. They may not be perfect, but I believe mom and daddies are trying to provide the best home they know how. A safe place, a good place, a place of good instruction. But even in the best of homes, that other world begins to reach in. And it'll grab a hold of you. And it's roaring, and it's grabbing. You're not enough. Your hair looks funny. You're wearing crazy clothes. Come on, have fun with us. It's a good time. Nobody's going to know. You don't have to be there on a Friday night. Come on, there's some friends out the park doing some fun stuff. I don't understand. What are you doing here? Why aren't you out there? And those voices reach into that place that's supposed to be safe and secure. Mom and daddies, please. Kids, if you hate me for this, you hate your soul. But mom and daddies, check my phone. Check my phone, mom and daddy. Check my phone, mom and daddy. If you care about their soul, you need to know who they're texting. You need to know the websites they're visiting. You need to understand the apps they're on, because you don't know what hell is using to reach into their world. It's just Snapchat. It's just a little text app. I've just got some friends, but you've never met them. You don't know who they are. Teenage girls, you don't know if it's some 40-year-old man that you've never met texting you. He's some weirdo herald that's reaching into your world. You don't know. It's hell that's reaching into that place, trying to lay hold on your purity, trying to get you in trouble. And there's this pressure. There's this pressure that you feel, young people. I know a young man, a boy I loved. We called him Sunshine. If that sounds like a boy that you could hate, you're stupid. Pardon my language if somebody gets offended. I said the S word. But this boy, we called him Sunshine because he had always had a smile. He was a good kid. I invested hours and hours and hours. I mean, I could set a month of Sundays of hours of investing in this boy. Took him to youth camps with me. Rode him around in my car. I talked to him all the time. Took him places with me. But he got a desire. He started looking at these little advertisements. A few in the proud. Saw those smart uniforms. Saw the white hats. And he came and said, I think I want to join the Marines. And I said, Bubba, I don't think I would do that. Not because I hate the military. I love the military. I honor them. But I knew he wasn't spiritual, his world. He wasn't secure in this world that we live in. He had questions. He was still struggling. And there was another world that was reaching in. And it was saying, you'll gain honor if you'll be in the military. You'll be looked at. People will be proud of you. They'll pat you on the back and say, look at you, bud. You're really something now. And before, all he was a little nobody from Canton, Mississippi. And I said, Bubba, don't do it. But parents, I'm going to give you a word of caution. His pastor said not to do it. Those that loved him in the church said not to do it. But mama and daddy said, we'll be proud military parents. That boy He may be in church today. I don't know. I think he's come back around and maybe he's close to a church. But he married a girl 6 weeks after meeting her, and then she drained his bank account and left. It's just the military. Oh, it's another world. It's another world that reached in because he wasn't ready. He wasn't ready for it. And that other world, he was too close to that window. It's okay. I can handle it. I'm tough enough. I'm strong enough. I'm smart enough. I'm capable enough. It won't. He told us it won't get to me. I'll be fine. I'll be okay. But when he got caught between two worlds, there was a world that had a greater pull on him. Eutychus! There's little lullabies that Satan will begin to sing in your ear. They sound good. I hear it. Just a little bit of music. And your head starts to bob. And you're not spiritually aware anymore. I wish I could just go ahead and throw darts at you and tell you, come on, you're so bad, you're so evil. I wish I could point at everybody else, but I've been there. I know what it's like to be on a pew in an apostolic church and to feel that little nod. Because there's a world out there talking to me. I know what it's like to sit in a classroom in college and to have a girl say, oh, so you're a virgin, huh? I'm going to get plain with you. And that other world began to try to reach into my world. But thank God in that moment, my world was strong enough. It began to push back and say, yeah, I am. And I will be until I get married. Because that's the Bible way. And I'm going to do it that way. I'm not letting go. My world was strong enough. And I began to feel that tension of another world from heaven. Began to say, come on, son. You can make it through the temptation. Don't be spiritually asleep. There's pulling. It's pulling. It'll come through your friends at school. It'll come through your friends everywhere. Maybe it'll come, God forbid, in a little DM. Devil likes to slide into your DMs, don't he? He'll come. And that ain't no cap. He's still mid, all right? So here he is. Eutychus sitting in the window, and he's there at that place, and he's pulling, and he's being pulled. Come here, Brother Devin. Come here. You're going to be my Eutychus tonight. You're doing your best. I don't know if Eutychus had worked all day, it's likely. So he had an excuse to be tired. He'd been working, he'd been doing functional stuff, reasonable stuff, and he's been sitting there for a while. The only mistake, it seems, was that he sat too close to the window. If he would have been close enough on the inside, it may have been a little fall, but it wouldn't have been 3 stories. Matters what you're sitting next to. It matters what you put yourself in, young person. It matters the seats you're sitting in, the people you're close to, and how close you are to the edge. Now, it's pretty easy. You can walk pretty easy, can't you? Are you able to kneel down at that altar and pray? See, he can be able to do that pretty unencumbered. But you see, that there's things that while he's in this world don't have power over him. In fact, I would take you to Matthew, where Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And what does he tell to his disciples? He said, watch and pray. What does that word watch mean? It means be aware, be awake, to be alive. See, but we can't live at the altar, so we've got to get up sometime. And we're just going through life. Life's good. But there are times when we would do good, but evil is present. And so we go out in the world and we do our things, and there's things. And there's things that begin to tie on to us. It's just a little distraction. It's just a little thing. But I'm coming back to the house of God, and I want to be able to worship and lift my hands. See, go ahead and lift your hands, Devin. See, it's a struggle now. I walk into the house of God, and I used to be unencumbered. It used to be so easy. I could just raise my hands and feel the presence of God. But now because I've been touching some things out there in the world, I can't really reach up anymore and feel that same presence. But I can still walk. Come on, you can still get to the altar, can't you? It was just a little bit of a sin. But I feel that pressure, but I can get there. I can still get to the altar. I can just repent. I can still kneel, because I told myself I'll just do it this one time. And I can still get back to the altar. See, I'm back at the altar. It's going to be okay. But see, I don't see what's pulling on me. And I'm back at the altar, but I got to get back up and go back out into the world. And now that I'm not in this spiritual world anymore, I start hanging around a different group of friends. And this different group of friends, they begin to encourage me to do some things that I know Mom and Daddy wouldn't approve of. But Mom and Daddy ain't here, so let me just go ahead and do what I want to do. It's just a vape pen. How bad is it? It's just a little thing. It's just a text conversation with somebody. And I know he's not in church, but he's a friend. It's just friends. Until he asked for a picture. And then more pictures. And then I walk back into the house of God, and now I realize that I'm ashamed. And it's a little slower going. I can get there, but it's a battle. It's really hard to get into that place. I'm really having to put effort into it. And so I can get back to the altar and I repent of it. But now I still have some things that when I would stay at the altar, they began to pull me back from that altar. Go ahead, raise your hands. Lift your hands. Come on, praise God. You know you need to. You know you want to. Don't hurt him, okay? But young person, it seems like a funny example, but you come into the house of God and you go to lift your hands and you start seeing a rerun of all the things you did last week. And the pastor says, come on, let the service leader says, let's worship the Lord. And you say, because you know what you did, and those things begin to pull on you. Come on, clap your hands unto the Lord. Can't do it. It's pulling on him. See, and then there's a few more things that he goes back out into the world. And it's just some videos. It's just some things. So it's just some videos, and it's just some things that I've seen, and I start going down a trail. Musicians, you can come. Start going down this trail until I get to the point where I try to get back to the house of God. And I know I've got to have a walk with God. I know I've got to have my life in the right place. But when I start to head to the house of God and he starts to walk back to that place, I know if I can get back to the altar, I can repent and everything's going to be okay. But those things still pull on me and hold on me. Come on, come back to the altar. It don't matter what they're doing, you come on back to the altar. See, but I'm hindered and I'm hampered and I can't make my way back to that place where I know where there is life. I need to get back there. But now I don't have the control anymore. Now I don't have the ability to make my own decisions. I'm not just caught between worlds. I'm caught in the world. Come on. And Pastor comes and says, come on, Devin, I've been seeing some things. Come on, come on, man. Come back to the altar. Come on, be in church. I wish you used to have that fire. You used to run the aisles every service. You used to lift your hands and tears would flow. You used to. And now, I don't know the last time I've seen you come to the altar, Devin. You've got a bright future. I see the glory. I see what God's trying to do. But worship the Lord. Go ahead, worship the Lord. Can't do it. Caught. But then the Spirit of God begins to reach out to where he is. He's in a low place. He had some friends and he began to talk to those friends and they encouraged him to do all those things. It was just, and so now he's got a little bit of help. Now he's got a little bit of strength. Now maybe he can get to the altar. And now there's somebody in the church says, come on, let me pray with you. Let me get you here to this place because I believe in you. There's another world that's reaching into your darkness. Hold on to him. See, but the problem is, hold on to him. See, the man of God says, you don't have to live with those things anymore. So he begins to confront those spirits. He begins to confront those things that held him back. And he says, come on. Come on, Devin. Run away like the scared little devils you are. And see, the man of God says, come on. There's another world that I'm trying to get you in. There's another world that's able to help you and undo you and take the chains and the bondage off of your life. You got a choice to make, young person. See, I'm going to go ahead and walk out the wall. Oh, this is old-fashioned stuff. I don't need this anymore. See, there's a world that's stronger, young person. There's a walk with God that can be able to overcome all the darkness that's reaching into your world. There's a prayer meeting with your name on it that can alleviate all of these chains. The devil thought he had a life and he had a hold of you. Can I prove it to you? Can you put up Acts chapter 20, verse 10? You know what happened? Eutychus fell and he died. He had a great fall. Fell three stories. But Pastor, when he fell, Brother Metlin, when he fell, Brother Martinez, look at this with me. He fell, he didn't fall on him to hurt him. You don't have a greater friend than your pastor. You don't have a greater friend than the man of God. Then when he sees you laying there after a fall, he's willing to go down in the dirt and to tear off those things that are binding you. because the man of God spoke the word and said his life is in him. You see all these young people, there's some that have had falls. There's some that are sitting close to a window. But there's men of God in this house that are willing to brave, oh, running down into the middle of all that mess.
Yes.
You know where he was? He was outside. That world had to be carnally minded is dead. He was dead. It was done. But Dyson, it was the final word had already been spoken. Coroner pronounced him dead. No heart. He's done. He's gone. Young people, God sent me to this house tonight. To open up the door for God to reach down into your world right now, where you're sitting too close to that window and your eyes are getting shut and you're starting to rock and the night's getting late and you're getting ready to take a fall. But I wonder if somebody, Brother Kelly, would have looked over and said, Hey, Bubba, you're a little too close to that window. Why don't you come sit by me? You may have put yourself there, but you don't have to stay there anymore. You may have got yourself in some entanglements, but tonight, those entanglements need to be cut off. Every young person, would you just close your eyes with me? He's reaching. Come on. Come on, don't let the fall. Yeah, Paul comes down and runs and lays on him and says, come on, Bubba, his life's in him. But come on, somebody, God wants to prevent your fall tonight. God wants to rescue you out of that place. Come on, those decisions you're making right now. Come on, that text message that you sent yesterday. Those plans that you finalized. You need to cancel them. Come on, you need to cut those relationships off. You got to get rid of it. It's another world. And it's trying to pull you Come on, he's reaching. Come on, he's reaching. Come on, he's reaching. Would you reach back right now? I wonder if there's a young person that says, I don't want to fall. But tonight, if you've fallen, there's help. If you've fallen, there's help. I know you've been caught in between these two worlds. You feel the tension. You feel the pull. But my God's bigger than your failure. My God's bigger than your mistake. My God's bigger than all of the darkness that's creeping in on you in your room at 2 a.m.
See me of anything.
Come on, give it to him.
It's not like you.
Let this greater world begin.
Not
come on, let the
like
Holy Ghost fire begin to fall. Let God begin to burn away the inconsequential, the junk, the garbage, the trash.
It's not like
come on, quit saying it'll be okay. Quit saying I'll get over it. I'll be through with it next week. Come on, that lust, that pornography, it's reaching from another world. Come on, give it to him. Come on, let him have it. Let him rescue you. Let him pull you out.
Not like you. Empty me of anything that's not like
that's it. Come on, you need to lay some things on the altar. You need to let some things go. Come on, you need to say, God, I'm sorry. I'm giving it to you.
Anything that's not like you. and fill me with your glory. Fill me with your power. Fill me with your presence. Lord, I long to be like you. Fill me with your spirit. Your love that has no limits.
Come on, we need everybody. If you're here tonight and as an adult, you're okay. Would you find a young person? Come on, begin to pray. Come on, begin to shut that window. Come on, what if somebody would have shut the window? What if somebody would have prevented the fall? Come on, let your voice.
Come on,
that heavenly world is saying you're called, you're anointed, you're mightily used of God. But that other world is saying you're abused, you're traumatized, you're worthless. You need to let God tell the story right now.
Your love, it has no limits. Fill me with your spirit, Lord, I long to be like you. Empty me of anything that's not like you. Cause holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. Holiness, holiness is what you want from me. For me. Holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. Holiness, holiness is what you want from me. For me. So take my heart and mold it. Take my mind, transform it. Take my will, conform it to yours, to yours, oh Lord. Take my heart and mold it. Take my mind, transform it. Take my will, conform it to yours, to yours. Is what I long for. Holiness is what I need.